Like a few of us who are here from out of the city, I'm staying here at the DoubleTree, and I don't know if the rest of you have noticed, but they are hosting a convention of wannabe models. So the hotel has been filled with just a lot of beautiful young girls, and last night was apparently the swimsuit event, because they're all there in the lobby and they're skimpy little two-piece bathing suit. This has nothing to do with our reunion, but I just can't stop thinking about it. Anyway, I want to start by thanking the committee and all of the people on it. Not all the girls were wearing two-piece bathing suits. There was one gorgeous blonde in one of those Speedo tank top kind of things. And she looked great, but way too thin. All the girls were way too thin. And I was sitting, there's a restaurant upstairs, I was sitting in there, and I overheard one of these aspiring models, and she ordered a Diet Coke, and this is true, a chicken sandwich without the chicken. That's true. And you actually feel bad, you know, you want to tell them, you know, don't do that, you've got to eat something. Then you go in the bathroom and make yourself throw up. But, you know, they're young, and you hope they'll learn that. Anyway, back to the subject at hand. I want to thank Linda Hayworth and the entire committee for putting all of this together, for doing a wonderful job, and for giving me these few minutes to talk to you. I am feeling very good tonight, and not just because we're all together again after 30 years. More importantly, because about an hour ago, I took my antidepressant, and it's starting to kick in. Show of hands, how many capsules? Prozac. Are there any Zolofts with us? Okay, there's something that's been bothering me for 30 years now. It's those little sayings they wrote under our names in the yearbook. What the hell was that about? What did they mean? Some would say it was foolish of me, an enormous waste of time, but I have devoted most of these past 30 years to unraveling the mysteries of those things. Over that time, I successfully broke many of our nuclear codes, translated a number of ancient Egyptian papyrus texts, but still, I don't have a clue why under Jane Hargis's picture they wrote, "Man is a vile creature, and vile is he who calls him vile for that." Does that mean anything to anybody? Here's something else that bothered me for more than 30 years. Remember this? ¿Cómo están Pablo y Luisa? Pablo está bien, pero Luisa tiene pecado. ¿Qué lástima lo siento? Oh, lástima se me fue pronto. And if you remember, it's Pablo, how are Pablo and Luisa? Pablo is fine, but Luisa has a cold. What a shame. I'm sorry. I hope she gets better soon. 30 years, I've remembered those words. 3 decades, my fellow classmates. Now keep in mind, most of that time I've lived in California, a huge Hispanic population. Yet, have I even once been able to trot out those phrases? No. First of all, I was bad. It was at least 20, 25 years before I even came across someone who had both a Pablo and a Luisa. And then, as it turned out, this Luisa did not have a cold. But they never taught us how to respond to that. I can only deal with sick Luisas. And so I was forced to ad-lib something about the biblioteca. Here's something else that bothers me. Mary Lynn Bibb, Becky Etheridge, Brenda Litwin, Mike Ruff, and Bruce Coleman. You haven't changed. You haven't changed at all, damn you. There are others too. 48 years old. Do you feel 48? I don't feel 48. The real truth is, in my mind, I'm still around 16. I still listen to the same music I did when I was 16. I still have many of the same friends I had then. Not 5 minutes ago, I popped Kathy Berry's bra strap, and she slapped me. age doesn't seem to have diminished our ability to party. Last night after the get-together at Midway Point, Bruce Weiland, Craig Gray, Debbie Hathaway, Cameron Skillman, Mark McClanahan, and Kathy Berry came back here to the hotel to Craig's room and continued partying until 3 in the morning, at which time a security guard showed up because there had been a complaint about the noise. Luckily, the guard didn't mention it was me. Of course, we are getting older, a point that became very clear to me in my television writing career. There's a whole new crop of writers out there much younger than me, and I must say I don't think they're especially respectful of people in our age group. On the last show I was doing, I turned in a script and said, "Sorry, I'm a little late, but I ran out of carbon paper," and the looks those young kids did. They asked me to make this presentation. They sent me all of your bios, the bios we all filled out, and that now appear in the directory, which I hope everybody got. And I have to tell you, it made for some fascinating reading. I found them moving and funny and uplifting and sometimes sad. I admit I had to keep going to the yearbook to match the name with the face. By the way, a public apology to Bruce Weiland, who loaned me his yearbook for this purpose. I'm afraid my cat got in my office and did some chewing on some of the pages of Bruce's book. Apologies also to Judy Minette, Sue Morgan, Gail Mead, and Chris McGowan, whose faces now have tiny little cat people. Also, Bruce, the inscription that got partially chewed, I believe those words were "bitchin' summer." Having read the bios, I feel like I can make a few generalizations about our class of 70. First of all, the thing that jumps right out at you, we're a fertile little group. Perhaps instead of longhorns, we should have been the bunnies. Of course, hooking bunnies doesn't send exactly the right message to our opponents. Our class, it seems to me, has an impressively high percentage of successful marriages, with some of us having celebrated our 25th or even 30th anniversaries, which I think is an enormous achievement. I didn't do too well on my first marriage. But I'm happy to say I got it right the second time around. 5 years ago, I married Elise, who couldn't be here, I'm afraid. We immediately had 2 kids, and life is indeed sweet. It does concern me, though, that when we celebrate our 30th anniversary, I'll be 73. Let's see, 25th is silver. That would be the Viagra anniversary.
Earlier than that.
What an accident. It seems like the majority of us have children in their late teens to early 20s, and we do number a few grandparents among us, and quite a few on the verge. And there are a few like myself with very young children. My son Dan is 4, and my daughter Katie will be 3 in October. And there are a few of you with even younger children, which I find amazing. I have this vision of me in the backyard with my son when he's a teenager and I'm 60-something. Throw the ball, Dan. Ah, right in my back. It's bad to be elderly and Jewish at that age. I also find a particular irony in that no sooner do we, my wife and I, get our kids out of diapers than I'm in them. Too much more time, so let me just run down a few of the things in your bio that kind of jumped out at me. Linda Fries. Linda is a concert violinist who's played backup to such luminaries as Rod Stewart, Yanni, the Moody Blues, and ELO. But to me, at least as impressive as Linda's musical skills is that she was a contestant on Jeopardy. I found out tonight she came in second to a guy who I think was one of their big champions, so that was very good. Here's a final Jeopardy answer, which they did not give her. See if any of you know this. The answer is the public address system, a large wooden paddle, and Hanlon Skillman. The question is, name three things that can usually be found in Mr. Golden's office. Dick Goodall is a successful photographer, as is Dave Rosenthal, who unfortunately couldn't make it tonight. Dick, I guess, does portrait photography, and he mentions in his bio that he photographed a number of famous people, including Barbara Bush and Dan Quayle. And I did find a bit of irony, if you remember recent history, that Dick did misspell Quayle. But don't feel bad, because I think I misspelled, which I still don't remember, but that has nothing to do with it. Marty Goodwin tells a terrifying story in his biography of suffering a stroke and seems to have come out of it with a very unique perspective on life. I want to steer everyone to Jeff Howell's bio, which is very funny and focuses on his divorce. Jeff, believe me, I know where from you speak. My first marriage was truly awful. I usually compare it to, well, do you remember the movie Fatal Attraction? Remember Michael Douglas's and Glenn Close's relationship? Well, if my ex-wife and I had a lot of counseling and really, really worked on it, maybe we could have achieved what they had. I could never understand why he left her. At least she slept with him. Anyway. Margaret Hundley is a Le Cordon Bleu trained chef, and with her husband, the owner of a vineyard and winery. Candy Israelson has four Corvettes. That struck me as a number of you mentioned you have Corvettes. Charlie Leroy, among his other accomplishments, is a triathlete. This has competed in the Ironman, and if you know what that is, that's an incredible achievement. Nancy Pizer, besides being a mother and dance movement therapist and educator, is married to the man who discovered HDL, good cholesterol, which I don't have enough of. Greg Toole has owned and sold a number of successful oil and gas-related companies, including one which supplies ceramic proppants in the hydraulic fracturing industry. What's amazing about that is you'll recall Greg was in fact voted most likely to supply ceramic proppants. And under Greg's picture, as you remember, it says, "Proppants, proppants, anyone have proppants?" Which seemed cryptic at the time, and yet in hindsight. Richard Zippel is married to an Israeli woman, an architect. They have two young children, one only 2 months old, which I think ranks as the youngest child among us. And Richard is helping to start the first private university in Israel. And speaking of Israel, Lanny Temple, who I don't believe is here, traveled all over the world creating a marvelous book about nature and the environment called Dear World. Lanny found himself in Israel during the Gulf War at a time when everyone in the country was being issued gas masks because of Iraq's Scud missile attacks. Tel Aviv suffered 2 Scud attacks Lanny's first night there. I highly recommend reading his biography, which is also quite beautifully written. I was very moved by Danny Gerson's bio. At the end of it, he wrote, "Best moment of the decade, the birth of my son. Worst moment, Sunday morning, July 30th, 1995, when I received the call that Gary Siegel had passed away, and I still miss him." Tommy Weifers is an expert on nuclear reactors, and I think did some designing for nuclear subs. I think he's the one who did that thing where when things go terribly wrong, that voice goes, "You've got meltdown." That was his work. Bobby Brown and Judy Martin are grandparents 4 times over and married 30 years. And in one of the more amazing stories, Becky Booth in 1996 was reunited with her son Russ, who had been adopted at birth 27 years earlier. It's funny, but what most affected me in our bios was the ordinary. Going to work, coaching our daughter's soccer team, starting a new business, traveling, dealing with the passing of a parent or loved one. Maybe it's from watching all those movies or working in television, watching a lot of television shows, but I used to think that A Remarkable Life had to have a high point, a major dramatic moment, reaching the summit of Everest, overcoming a life-threatening illness, something of that order. But as I read our life stories, I wonder if The Remarkable Life is not unremarkable. Maybe it's the getting up every day, going to work, raising a family. Maybe that's what really is the stuff of heroism. And maybe love isn't so much about the smoldering kiss we see on the big screen or sweeping her into your arms and carrying her up the staircase. Maybe real love is day-to-day being there for one another, sharing the ups and especially the downs. Finally, I just want to say that this weekend has meant a lot to me. It's deeply affected me. I actually had to leave at a certain point because just seeing everybody and all the memories that brought back was a bit much to handle at the moment. We knew one another during some of the most important years of our lives, certainly among the most intense. First loves, broken hearts, in crowds, outcasts, our first tentative steps from child to young adulthood. We know each other's secrets. We saw each other at our most vulnerable and insecure. And now here we are 30 years later, parents, grandparents, doctors, lawyers, businessmen and women, and yet somewhere down deep inside, that insecure adolescence still lurks. I consider myself lucky indeed to be part of this remarkable group. Thank you very much.